Our Bible reading this morning comes from Romans 8, starting from verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. So far the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Phil, and thank you, Peter. Friends, just before we begin, could I mention regarding the funeral for Willie Power? This week is on Thursday, 11 o'clock at Carvilla at the gates, and we'll go from there to the internment, and then 12:30 at Finney's Centre. So the service won't be here. We're at the Finney Centre at 12:30, and before that at the gates at 11. Dear brothers and sisters, Christmas has come and gone. The old year has almost gone, and as we've been reminded and know so well, what a year it's been. And soon 2021 will be upon us, but what lies ahead? A better year or worse? Well, we just don't know, do we? And that's what makes this reading so very, very important. Our focus this morning is going to be on verses 22 to 25, a chunk in the middle of what has been read for us. But what is so beautiful about this passage is that in an uncertain world, it gives to all of us an anchor for our soul, a foundation upon which we can build a life of hope. And it does that by taking us into a very unlikely place, a labour ward where a woman is about to give birth. Now, many of us have been there and we've done that. And if you haven't, could I suggest all you have to do is have a look at one episode of Call the Midwife and you'll really get the picture. You'll know what it's all about, because there's groaning and there is pain. But it's pain with a purpose. It's pain that's worth it, because that pain and that groaning has a wonderful result. A new life is born, a baby is born, and new life appears. Now that labour ward is a picture of our world. And that labour ward is a picture of us. You and me. And we are groaning. But the groaning is going to give way to glory, and we will find that the best is yet to come. And that's why we can have hope. So the title for our sermon today is Groaning and Hopeful. That's who we are. We are groaning and hopeful. And we're going to start today where our passage starts, with creation. And when Paul uses the word creation in this glorious 8th chapter of Romans, which really must be one of the Mount Everests in the New Testament, what he means is everything that's not God. Everything God has made, the things we can see and the stuff we can't. That's creation. And he said before, just before our text, it was subject to futility. And creation is in bondage to decay. But now he takes another step. Now he takes us into the labour ward. And he says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Now, friends, please understand, it's not denying that there is so much that is beautiful and at times unspeakably beautiful about our world, the one in which we live. It's just saying, alongside that, there's something else. Our world is like a house. The house that Rolanda and I lived in many years ago in the earlier years of our marriage, and we would joke to one another, it keeps most of the wind and most of the rain out. That was our house that we were renting at the time. And you can live in a house like that, but it's not great. And it's not the way it's meant to be. And that really, in a nutshell, is a picture of our world. It's not the way it ought to be. And if we just think back, just restrict ourselves for a moment to Australia, 12 months ago, bushfires, after drought, and then floods. And of course, not just for Australia, but for the whole of the world, and even Antarctica, COVID. Friends, creation is groaning. And like that woman in the labour ward, waiting to be delivered, but it is going to be set free. And this is a beautiful theme that runs right through the Old Testament. And I want to show you something now, and for the boys and girls especially, I want you to think of a tree. And have a look at this. Have a look at this, what the Bible says, as it shows you these pictures of trees from Psalm 96, that the day will come when all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. And all of creation will rejoice before the Lord, because he comes. He comes to judge the earth. That's Psalm 96, a picture of trees singing for joy. Step with me to Psalm 98, and there we see rivers clapping their hands and mountains singing together for joy. Is this some silly fairy tale? No, it's not. We're being told here that creation at the moment, as we see it, as Paul speaks of it groaning, is restricted. It's constricted. It's like those galvanized pipes at my place when we first moved in that we didn't know, but we'd switch the tap on full and there'd be this little dribble that came out of the tap and out of the shower because those pipes were clogged. They would never, and they could never, reach their full potential because there was all that muck there. But then those pipes were replaced and the water flowed and the taps gushed and the shower was great and all of that. And that's the point. Nature was created to be far more glorious, far more beautiful, far more alive than what it presently is. But now it's groaning. It's like that pipe. But one day, the groaning will be over and the glory will come when Jesus comes. Well, that's Psalm 96 and Psalm 98, but let me keep on going because I just love this stuff. Isaiah chapter 11. Boys and girls, I want you to think of a wolf. And I want you to think of a lamb. In Isaiah chapter 11, in verse 6 and following, it says the wolf will live with a lamb. Friends, just think about that. A wolf living with a lamb. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand on the viper's nest. Parents, think about that. That's your kid. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What's this saying? Wild animals like wolves and domesticated animals like lambs, they're going to live in peace. And poisonous animals like snakes and ferocious animals, they're not going to harm in God's glorious new creation. And won't that be just utterly amazing? Can you imagine what it's like to wander through one of those forests in a new world, to go bushwalking, to smell the flowers, to see the sights, to be part of a world and explore a world that is not polluted, that is not spoiled, that is not groaning like a woman in labour? You get glimpses of it in the ministry of Jesus. At the wedding of Cana, he takes water, tasteless water, and he makes it into the most precious and expensive wine. He takes people who are sick and blind and deaf and dead, and he heals them, makes them see. They hear, they come back to life. He comes to a hungry crowd and he takes 5 loaves and 2 fish and he feeds them so much food that they can't eat any more, and there are 12 baskets left over. That's glorious. Well, that's the world that's coming. And don't our hearts long for that? A world that's not like the one we live in. That's not like a house which keeps most of the wind and most of the rain out. A world which is perfect. That's what our hearts long for. And whatever you believe, and whatever your background is, we're all the same when it comes to that. And dear friends, there's some implications that flow. Because our world is broken, please don't expect that your life will be perfect, or your marriage will be perfect, or your life will be perfect, or your relationships will be perfect. That won't happen. It can't happen. And please understand why it is that you can go away and have the most wonderful holiday and see the most amazing sights and come back so refreshed and so full of life. And then 2 weeks later, it's as if it never happened. Our world, God's creation, is groaning. And it's not just creation. It's us. We're groaning. And we do, don't we? Who of us every year doesn't have to put one more candle on the cake? And who of us doesn't have a body that isn't wearing out? And who of us can escape the pain and the stress that goes with living in a fallen world? And then, of course, there's death. And don't we groan then? And it's not just that our pets die and our plants die, but people die. People we love die. and we will die unless Jesus comes first. This Thursday will be the funeral for Willie Power. And once again, we will meet at a graveside. And once again, we will gather to remember. And for the family now, there's an empty place. And on days like that, don't we groan? Don't we long for a better world, one where there is no more mourning or crying or pain? A world where our tears are wiped away, a world where we have a better body, a body that will never get sick, that will never have to struggle with mental health issues or dementia or old age or whatever. And the glorious good news is that's coming. A whole brand new body is coming. Jesus promised that when he returns, you are going to get a body just like his. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that. Dear friends, that's why this passage is so fundamentally important for all of us, because it's telling us the great privilege that Christians have. That if you have confessed your sins, if you have received Jesus as your Saviour, you have something from our Lord himself. You have his Spirit in your hearts, as this passage tells us, the first fruits. And boys and girls, you might not know what that is, but you get the picture. When you plant veggies or you plant a fruit tree, you're waiting and you're watching for the first fruit to come. And when it does, you rejoice because you know that more's going to come. And that's the idea here. In the Old Testament, it was an agricultural economy and people planted crops like wheat and barley. And they would plant and they would wait and they would see the crop rise. And when the time came for harvest, they would gather the first of the harvest and they would take that, what they called the first fruits, to the temple. Because that was for God and that was the guarantee that the rest of the harvest would follow. And that's what the Spirit is in our hearts. Now, he's more than that, but that's what this passage is focusing on, because it wants to encourage us. It wants to remind us that if we have not put our faith in Jesus, if we have not received him as Saviour, we are missing something that our heart actually longs for. And the Christian is so privileged. And dear friends, if you haven't done that and you don't even know what that means, please talk to me afterwards. I would love to share the blessing of the Holy Spirit that God has given me, that truth with you, because you need it. The Holy Spirit is the first fruit. When you buy a block of land, when you buy a car, when you buy a house, you put down your deposit and that's the guarantee that the rest is going to come. That's the idea here. And here we have the Spirit who tells us what's going on and who tells us what's to come. And that is so glorious. He's telling us a new body is waiting. And it will never wear out. It will never get sick. It will never die. It will be just like Jesus, brand new body. And I can't wait, and I guess many of you, and maybe all of us, can't wait either. So there we have it. Creation's groaning, and we're groaning, but the best is yet to come. So the big question is, what sort of people should you be? That's a big question, isn't it? Well, let's look at the negative. What shouldn't be true of you as you leave church today? Well, you shouldn't be a person, as John Piper says, who's sucked in by advertising. The advertising that says, if you've got lots of toys, then you win. Don't get sucked in by that, dear friends. We shouldn't be people who devote our energy, our best energy, to laying up treasures on earth, because we have a better treasure and it's waiting for us in heaven. And we shouldn't be people who live just for this life and this world, because we have a better life and we have a better world in the world to come. That's who we shouldn't be. Okay, who should we be? What should characterize us? Well, three words. We should be groaning and hopeful. That's our sermon title. That's what we want to look at. And that's what our passage is all about. And you'll notice a word that pops up here, and I'll leave it to you to work it out while I read it. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all, for who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We're groaning, we're hopeful, and we're waiting. We're waiting for God, friends, to finish the job of salvation. He sent his Son, he sent his Spirit, he's saving the world, he's going to save a whole people for himself, and we're waiting for him to finish the job. And so we wait and we groan and we hope. Now notice this word hope here. It's not just a wish. Oh, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I want to go on a picnic. Oh, I hope she likes me. Oh, I hope I get the job or I pass my exam. No, this is absolute certainty. It's rock solid certainty because it's built on two things. One, the reality of Jesus' death, his cross, and his open grave. That's the first thing, and that's rock solid. That did happen. And we know that more is going to happen. But secondly, there's something else. We know that when God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. When he says something, he'll make it happen. He promised a Saviour, and he came 2,000 years ago, or thereabouts, and we've just celebrated his birth. He promised the Spirit, and he came. And he promised that in the ministry of Jesus, the blind would see, the deaf would hear, and the poor who were locked up in the prison of sin would be released. And that's what happens. And it's still happening through the preaching of the gospel today. You see, it all focuses on him. That's where our hope lies, and he is the one in whom our hope is fixed, because he's the Christ. The baby in Bethlehem became the Christ, the Messiah of Calvary, and he now rules as God's King in God's heaven, and he's coming back. And at that is as sure as you're sitting here. So friends, what should we be? People who are groaning. People who are hopeful. People who are waiting. Because the best is yet to come. Yes? Creation's groaning, and we know that. And yes, we're groaning, and we know that. But press on. As you groan, pray. As you groan, wait in hope. As you groan, love the Lord your God with all your heart. As you groan, love your neighbor as yourself. As you groan, be bearers of hope in a dark and dying world. As you groan, fix your eyes on Jesus. Why him? Because has anyone groaned more than him? Think of his life as a perfect man in an imperfect world. Think of his death, bearing the weight of our sin, under the curse of God, forsaken by his Father. Has anyone groaned as much as that man, that God-man, ever has? Fix your eyes on Jesus, because he was groaning, but now he's in glory, and the groaning is over. It's like that woman who was groaning in the pains of childbirth, but now she holds the child in her arm, and the pain was worth it. The best is yet to come. And that is what we must encourage one another with and take to heart. Dear friends, may all of us, every one of us, be groaning and hopeful. Hold that truth to your heart. Never let it out of your sight, and encourage one another with it. Now take it, and by the grace of God, Live that out every day in the day that the Lord gives us. And may He bless you richly as you do. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our God and Father, the God who gives strength to the weary and brings joy into the gloom, the God who gives hope to those without it. You are the God of endurance, you are the God of encouragement, and you are the God of great hope. And we pray that you would take these truths and lay them on our heart and shape our lives from here through them. And we ask, Lord, that you would do amazing things, that we might that we might smell the grass and see the flowers in the new heaven and the new earth, and that you would so work through our doubts and fears that our hope will be realized, and that certain and living hope will become more real and become more sweet than everything bitter we have to deal with in a broken world. You are the God who has promised to make all things new and beautiful. And you will do it, because you cannot lie and you never exaggerate. Thank you, because our hearts ache for the day when the mountains will sing and the trees will clap their hands. Please hasten that day. And in the meantime, help us to fix our eyes not on what's seen, but what's unseen, on the Christ who is the King, crucified, risen, ruling, and returning. And as we go into the days and weeks ahead, as the new year unfolds, help us to know without any shadow of doubt that you love us. Grant to us, whatever our circumstances, the fullness of joy, and remind us that Jesus will return. Help us live and love in ways that honour you, and again to fix our eyes on Him, that we not grow weary, that we not lose heart. Refresh our faith and help us to set our hope fully on the grace to be revealed to us when Jesus Christ returns. And in the meantime, help us to be wise, patient, and loving, even when life is tough, and make us more and more like Jesus. We ask in His precious name. Amen.